And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is lasting influence. Each of my guests is explaining the lasting impression their topic has on the world. My first guest realizes most products are similar. It's the people and business processes that differentiate one retailer from another. He described the science of creating lifetime customers contained in his book, Reinventing the Wheel. My next guest is a Yale psychologist who understands the sources of influence. He'll teach us how to achieve instant influence in 6 simple steps from his book titled Instant Influence. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Dr. Michael Pantalon is a clinical psychologist and research scientist at Yale University School of Medicine, where he has spent the last 14 years studying cutting-edge treatments for addiction to alcohol, heroin, opiate, painkillers, and cocaine. As a specialist in motivational enhancement, Dr. Pantalon has helped some of the most difficult-to-treat addicted people enter treatment. His ultra-brief, easy-to-learn motivational intervention has helped countless addicted individuals as well as thousands of addicted professionals who have attended his seminars. Dr. Pantalon's simple yet effective method can help you to motivate just about anyone to do anything fast. Welcome to the show, Michael. How are you today?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being our guest. I love to have thought leaders like you come on the show. And I guess the first place to start is what makes people want to change? I mean, you've got to be highly motivated, particularly if you want to influence somebody to change quickly. What makes people want to change, Michael?
Well, I boil it down to one thing, and that is that people really only change when they hear themselves argue in favor of it. Or even more simply, people really only listen to one person. It's not their doctor, it's not their wife or their boss, it's themselves. That's the key.
And that's the key. So the getting to people to change and to influence people, you've got to really get them to believe it itself. Now, what has made your method work so well? I mean, you claim that you've been able to influence somebody in as little as 7 minutes. How can you influence somebody to act so fast?
Well, I mean, let me boil it down, but it's happened over the last almost 20 years. And like any other researcher, I built on what came before me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 3 decades of science before that say the first thing to do is to tell someone they don't absolutely have to change. That's right, that they don't have to. We lower defenses. And then I adapted something that's called motivational interviewing. And I was forced to, because I worked with some of the toughest patients in the South Bronx with mental illness and addiction. And then later on at Yale New Haven's emergency room, where I had 7 minutes, and that was it, to try to influence someone to change their drinking or bad lifestyle habits. And they didn't even want to talk about it when they came into the ER. So it was, necessity is the mother of all invention, as they say. So I was forced to boil it down to its essence. And I think we've done a pretty good job over the years.
Well, talk to me about this concept, motivational interviewing. Now, you walk into a patient and you have 7 minutes. How would you get into their heads to interview them to try to get them to want to change?
Okay, well, you don't have to be a shrink or a doctor to do this. You know, anyone who reads the book, no matter what background, can do it. The first thing, the instant rapport builder, since I don't know them from a hole in the wall, is to say, look, I know that you've struggled with this issue, and probably everyone has told you you have to change, but I'm not here to tell you that. It's up to you whether or not you change. And you can just see resistance melting away on someone's face. And then I say, but would you mind if I ask you a few questions? Then they're open to change. Their defenses are down, and that's when the 6 questions of instant influence really come in handy.
All right. Now it's interesting.
One of them, or?
No, go ahead. Go.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. We're talking over one another. We're talking to Dr. Michael Pantalon, author of the book Instant Influence, How to Get Anyone to Do Anything Fast. And, Michael, what has really struck me in all of the research that I did prior to this interview is follow-up studies show that the changes from your methods are really long-lasting, even among criminals, addicts, and mental patients. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there are a couple of things going on. When people know that someone is going to listen to them instead of trying to get them to listen to the expert, they come back again and again. Or they keep in mind the method that I used on them, and they do it on themselves. And so relapses don't happen as often because people catch themselves and remotivate themselves once things start to slip. And that's a normal thing. You know, things don't last forever, but I teach people not only how I can influence them, but how they can go home and continue to do the job on themselves. And I think that's what makes it really stick and last.
All right. We're talking to Dr. Michael Pantalon. Michael, let's get to the secret sauce then. You've got six steps that can help people. What are those six steps?
Okay. So we grease the skids by saying you don't absolutely have to change, but can I ask you some questions? And when they say yes, the first question is, why might you change? And then when they look at you like you have three heads, you say, yeah, I'm not going to tell you my reasons anymore. I'm asking you, what's in it for you were you to make one small step towards this change? And when people start to answer that, they're giving you the motivational incentives for why they should do what you want them to do.
Mm.
It's quite dramatic.
Yeah, that is. That is powerful stuff. All right, so you get them, why might you change? You get an answer from that. What comes next?
Well, usually what comes next from the person is that they want to test you out. And sometimes people think you're asking the why haven't you changed, the negative why question that they're so used to. You want to make sure that they answer your question, why might you change? Then you have them rate their motivation. The reason we do this is because we found that when we asked resistant people, like whether they're managers at a business or kids or offenders, a yes-no question about their motivation. Even if they had a little motivation to change, they would say no. And so we scale it now. We say on a scale from 1 to 10, how ready are you to just put into practice the new sales technique that we have at our company? 1 means not at all, 10 means totally. And even the most resistant person will give you a 2 or 3 and often a 4.
Mm-hmm.
So that's question number 2. Now, what do you think the resistant person is expecting to hear when they give you a 2 or a 3 on that scale?
Well, they're expecting
their boss asking them this question. I've trained lots of bosses to do this. The worker is expecting their boss to say, well, how come you aren't a little more motivated? Didn't I inspire you to believe in this new sales technique? But instead, question number 3 tells them to ask, why didn't you pick a lower number? And that corners the person into saying, to defending some of their motivation for doing what you'd like them to do.
Interesting. Now, let's say I chose a 2 or a 3 on why I didn't want to try the new sales technique. So you asked me, why didn't I choose a lower number? So you're actually asking me...
You got the question a little bit. And you see, we default to what we have always heard. It's on a scale of 1 to 10, how ready are you to try the sales technique? Not to not try it, but to go ahead and try it. So that means you have 30% readiness or motivation to try it.
Okay, I see the difference now. All right. So, and then by asking me the question why I didn't pick a lower number, you're actually forcing me to look at the positive sides of the new sales technique or whatever it is you're trying to convince the person to do.
There you have it.
All right, that makes sense. So what's the next step?
Well, I mean, I don't want to give it all away, but the next step for the person doing this is to keenly listen for the motivation and to selectively focus on that. So if the person thinks you've asked the opposite question, you got to make sure you correct them. But often people come back with mixed bag. They say, well, I know you want me to try the new sales technique, and maybe it would make an improvement, but I've got so much going on, and I do pretty well as it is. Now the worker has given you a combination of resistance and motivation. Your job as a good influencer is to weed through the resistance and to selectively feed back to the person. There's a feedback element here. You want to feed back to them the positive reasons for the positive change. Okay, so you would do better, perhaps, and you know that you and I would get along better and work would go smoother for you if you just tried a little bit of it. The person needs to hear you mirror that back.
All right, that makes sense. We're talking to Dr. Michael Pantalon, author of the book Instant Influence, How to Get Anyone to Do Anything Fast. Now, you've had some remarkable results in business and as you've said, in your practice as well. But give us some examples of the work that you've done with companies like General Electric and their executives, Bristol-Myers Squibb, and even the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Right. What companies really like is the bare core of this, the boiled down essence of it, and what they come away is something that we call the positive why. You don't even have to do any of the questions if you do the positive why, and they have now learned from me that they can catch their workers doing something motivational and ask them why they're doing that. It's kind of a version of question one. And it's the quickest, easiest way of motivating someone. So if somebody comes in to work late chronically, here's an example. We talked to the GE HR execs a couple of years ago. And I said, what do you say to the guy when he comes in late? Everyone said, it was a chorus of people saying, why were you late? Why can't you get here?
Sure.
What are you going to do? And I told them, all of that's got to go. And we demonstrated together that they don't get anything from that except frustration. What's positive? And somebody laughed in the back and they said, well, that he came in at all? And everyone laughed as if that wasn't the answer, but it is. And you are going to surprise your worker and influence him if you say, well, look, of course I wanted you here at 9, but why did you decide to show up at all? Why did you even rush? And people laughed, but they went back that next day and they tried it out and reported back to the second day of the seminar and said, they couldn't believe how they shocked their employee and how they really got motivation from them.
Whoa, now.
They emailed me and said, it worked.
Whoa, now, Michael. I'm going to stop you there because that has a tendency with that question, why did you show up at all, to be construed as being very negative or pejorative. How do you phrase that question in such a way that you don't offend the guy and make it sound as though you're looking down your nose at him for even being there at all?
I love that question. That's the best question I've had all day. And that is, if there's any one thing that's a little tricky here, is that you have to be genuine. And if someone, you can't say it sarcastically. You're absolutely right. And if someone has even the slightest inkling that you meant it that way, you say, look, I know that sounds like a sarcastic question, but I'm catching you doing something that I do like, and I don't want to repeat of all our frustrating conversations. I actually mean to ask you, what made you rush today? Because at least that part I do appreciate. You want to do it genuinely. It could sound sarcastic, but you can't say it that way. And you got to make sure that they hear it as a genuine question around their positive motivation.
All right. Well said. We're talking to Dr. Michael Pantalon, author of the book Instant Influence, How to Get Anyone to Do Anything Fast. And Michael, in reading your book, one of the things that I noticed, the methodology seems to work well if both parties are equal. But let's talk about where there's a difference in power. What if one party has more power than the other? And let's just say I want to be influenced and the person that I'm talking to has more power than me. How can I influence, say, my boss or somebody who is in a position of higher authority using your technique?
Well, you have to, first of all, know your boss. And if your boss is a sort of behind-the-closed-door-only kind of person, you may not have the right audience for this. But most bosses are approachable to some degree. The thing that I always tell people is to make sure that you're above board. You can tell the person, look, I'm trying to approach this issue between us differently. You let them know that a different question is coming. Give them fair warning. That's number one. Number two, you have to reinforce their autonomy or freedom of choice even more than you would someone who's the direct report. You want to say to your boss, look, far be it from me to tell you how to run the show. And it's totally your call. You want to really overdo the autonomy part and say, it's totally in your court. But here's a question that popped into my head. Why might we do it this way? What would be in it for us? What would be in it for you? And, you know, you're going to sit there a little nervous, but I think a lot of bosses who I've talked to appreciate it when someone steps up and asks a bold question.
And that is a bold question. There's no doubt about it. We're talking to Dr. Michael Pantalon, everybody.
Right.
And Michael, we've only got a few minutes left, but if you were advising somebody who is beginning in management in business today, what advice would you share with that person?
I would boil this all down to one really simple thing. Irrational questions motivate your people better than rational ones. Change the conversation, look carefully at the language, and switch from why can't you do this to why might you do this?
Interesting. Irrational questions motivate better than rational ones. Huh. And an interesting and counterintuitive thought from Dr. Michael Pantalon, author of the book Instant Influence. Michael, what do you want people to take away from reading your book?
Look, that anyone can do it, and anyone can be moved by it. So you don't have to be a professional. I spent 20 years boiling it down so that anyone can pick this up, and in a half hour can start trying it out and get success. So I'd encourage people to get the book, and you could check me out and on michaelpantalon.com, and I'd be happy to even come out and coach your team if you'd like.
Well, in beautiful sunny Southern California this time of the year, that is an offer that I'm sure you're willing to take up. We've been talking to Dr. Michael Pantalon, author of the book Instant Influence, How to Get Anyone to Do Anything Fast. And Michael, for my listeners who may not have heard it, if they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
www.michaelpantalon.com. Or they can order the book right off Amazon.com.
That's Michael Pantalon, Pantalon.com. Michael, it has been a real delight having you as my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.